The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming with him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "Truly, this is the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters.
Okay,
so in the days after Easter, you'll hear many of our gospel readings with Eucharistic overtones. You know, the story of the road to Emmaus with the 2 disciples who recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Or all next week, you can hear the Bread of Life discourse, John chapter 6, all about the Eucharist. And I hope you can tell the Eucharistic overtones in the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes that you just heard. And you hear this right after Easter, and it's a way of the church trying to remind us that despite what you can't see, Jesus is still with us, truly present, hidden under the appearance of a little piece of bread, but really present in the Eucharist. That's why the church says this. So now, here's the story of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes you heard many times. Today, I ask you to focus on the last line. Not so much on the miracle itself, but rather on this line. When Jesus knew that they were going to come carry him off to make him king, he withdrew to the mountain alone. Jesus would not be king except on his own terms. The people wanted to make Jesus king on their own terms. And their terms and his terms were quite different. You know, there would come a day in which the people would come and carry Jesus off and make him king. Do you know when that day was? Good Friday. There's a crucifix. I mean, you might have seen this crucifix before. And it shows Jesus on the cross, dressed in priestly garments, wearing a crown on his head. Jesus Christ reigning from the cross. Never was he more king of heaven and earth than he was at that moment. But he would do it according to his own terms and according to his own will, just the way he had intended, a perfect obedience to the will of his heavenly Father. And this is the point that I'd ask you to think about today. Holiness consists in perfect imitation of the will of your heavenly Father, just as Jesus did the will of his heavenly Father. And that actually brings us to the story of our saint for today. So you got the priest, he's wearing red up here, okay? And you got this saint for the day. His name is Pope St. Martin I. And you think, who the heck is that? Well, it's actually kind of interesting. Pope St. Martin I was the last pope to ever die a martyr's death. And did you know that for the first 300 years of Christianity, Every single pope died a martyr's death. They all, 300 years, every last one of them, in one of those great persecutions, the persecution of Nero, or the persecution of Decian, or the persecution of Valerian, or the persecution of Diocletian, until the Edict of Milan, 313 AD, every pope died a martyr's death. Now here's Pope St. Martin, the last one to ever die a martyr's death. But it was 300 years after Christianity was legal. He didn't die at the hands of some terrible pagan Roman emperor. He died at the hands of a supposedly Christian emperor, the emperor of Constantinople, who put Martin to death for the crime of treason. And here was his treason. He refused to believe something that the emperor wanted everybody to believe. And it's something called monothelitism, and I have to explain that to you. Monothelitism is a fancy word that means that Jesus only had a divine will. He didn't have a human will. Pope St. Martin chose to die rather than to deny that Jesus had two wills. Did you know we believe Jesus had two wills? Two wills. He had a divine will. Because he never stopped being second person of the Blessed Trinity. But because Jesus had a real human nature, now nothing lacking in that human nature, he also had a human will. And here's the holiness of our Lord. His human will and his divine will are always perfectly aligned. That's the holiness of Christ. And would you believe that's your holiness as well? You want to know what the word holy means? It means that your will and God's will are in perfect parallel, just as Jesus showed for us. Now, Pope St. Martin, he said, I'd rather die than deny that. And I hope now you can understand why that matters so much. The people wanted Jesus to be king on their own terms. And we kind of want Jesus to be king, but on our own terms, don't we? Just as long as I can list off a few things, you know, I want to be, have a comfortable life, and I want to be respected by everybody, and I want to be nice and stable and secure in my job, and et cetera. On all these terms and conditions, Lord, I'll let you lead me wherever you want to go. That's what we say. But what we have to do is completely surrender to the will of the Heavenly Father. And you know what the Heavenly Father does? So I was just reading St. Francis de Sales recently, and he says, he scans your whole life and finds all those areas in your life in which you're most jealously guarding your will for yourself. And would you believe your Heavenly Father allows divine providence to unfold in such a way that those very areas are what get attacked, just so that you'll surrender completely to Him? That's what holiness means. We want Jesus to be king on our own terms, but it has to be His terms, His will, His commandments, every last one of them, His timetable, no matter how slow it might be, leading wherever He wants to go, especially when we do not understand. That's holiness. The sister of St. Thomas Aquinas once asked him, what does it take to be a saint? Thomas Aquinas, who'd written so many treatises and volumes on holiness, he answered in two words. He said, will it. Will it. Pope St. Martin I showed us how important it is to imitate Jesus in obeying the will of the Heavenly Father at all times and in all things. Let's ask for his prayers today to help us to do the same, shall we? Pope St. Martin I, pray for us.